Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Tasker, touchdown, Buffalo.
And it's Steve Tasker who has been all over the field.
Kind of unique. He was kind of a dual role player for you.
Steve.
A balloon.
Steve. A blimp. We're not even in the stratosphere of normalcy here.
All right, it is time in hour number two to bring in the man who will be calling the game on the NFL on CBS, Bills Dolphins on Sunday. You know him from the Bills preseason telecasts. It is one Andrew Catalan joining us here on a Wednesday edition of One Bills Live. Andrew, how you doing, sir? It's good to see you.
Brownie, Tasker, it's always good to be with you guys.
Thanks for coming on. I haven't seen you since the preseason. I know you did one of the games earlier in the season. But what's it? What do you notice now as you're starting to get ready for this game with the Bills and Dolphins? What's different about these two teams than maybe you've seen them earlier in the season?
Yeah, actually, I haven't seen either one of these teams yet in the regular season. But I will see the Bills this week, and you're stuck with me next week in Jacksonville. So I'm excited. Obviously, saw them with you all right. Preseason long. And I just look at this month upcoming. I mean, they're going to be double-digit favorites in each of their next three games. I think it's a great chance to really feel good about themselves going in, you know, to the home stretch. And I think that when you look at the AFC, even though home field advantage doesn't maybe mean as much as it used to, I still think it means a lot in Buffalo. And, of course, that's down the road. But I think if they can get healthy this month against this schedule coming up and be in position to host some home playoff games again, they're going to be in great shape moving forward.
Obviously, the Dolphins are in a much different situation, losers of six straight, including the last two at the gun, with two game-winning kicks from their opposition. And I know Brian Flores can't say much more than we're just not getting it done at the, you know, in the critical moments, and we got to keep working at it. We have to get better. But the general consensus down there is they haven't changed a whole lot of what they are doing. They keep trying to go with the same formula, whether it's offense or defense, to a great degree. We understand game plans change from week to week. But they're relying on a lot of the same things to carry them through, and their defense has been a tremendous letdown for them, as you know. I guess the question to you, Andrew, is, has this team reached a point of desperation where they do finally change some things, pull out some stops, take some risks, much the way we saw Detroit last week against the Rams, you know, with fake punts and all this other stuff?
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Chris. And I think that, you know, the positive for them is they are in these games. They're getting, for the most part, they weren't in that game week two against Buffalo, but they do have three walk-off losses this year on the last play of the game. So you could say, well, play or two here or there, and those are going the other way. Why do we need to change everything? But that said, there is a lot fundamentally wrong with Miami right now. You point to their defense. They have such an expensive secondary. Those guys aren't playing great. They struggle running the football. They did a better job against Atlanta, but they still don't have a guy that's going to break one on you. And look, the quarterback situation is very messy. And I'm not talking about on the field, because if you look at Tua's last two games, he's actually played pretty well. Now, he's had some very bad interceptions in those games. But the last two drives last week against Atlanta, he was 9 out of 10 for two touchdowns. I mean, he is capable of playing good football. They just don't throw it down the field. As you said, it's kind of easy to know what you're going to get. They're going to try to establish the run, and when they give up on that, they're going to throw short passes, bubble screens. There's just not much to them. And you throw in this week that Jerome Baker, their leading tackler, may not play. He was injured last week and missed the final three quarters. I think they're in a rough spot. The trade deadline's coming up. Tua just finished his media availability in Florida. Every question was about Deshaun Watson and the trade deadline. I think it's a very fragile team, and I'm fascinated to see how they come out and play, because, you know, I think Brian Flores can be a good motivator, and if he is, he needs to pull out all the stops this Sunday, because they are a massive underdog to me going into this game.
What do you think is missing from the Dolphins? I mean, that, certainly they've got some talents. They're you know, like every other team, they've got strengths and weaknesses. What do you think is the missing piece? Certainly Tua has played well enough to win at times. Their defensive backfield has played well at times, although they don't have, you know, the pass rush. Does it all start up front on both sides of the ball? But, you know, what's this Miami Dolphins team? What's holding them back from seeing the results of their talent?
Yeah, Steve, I think it does start up front. Their offensive line is mediocre at best. They've protected Tua pretty well the last couple of games. However, they really don't throw deep because of that line, because they know they're not going to get enough time for Tua to throw it down the field. I think defensively, you know, they made some changes. I mean, they ran out some veterans in the offseason. And I think especially in a situation like right now where you've lost six games in a row, you need veterans in that locker room to kind of bring it all together, especially with some of these younger guys that they have now. You know, they lost to Kyle Van Noy. You know, to me, maybe he's not the best linebacker in the league anymore. I know he's not, but he's a glue guy. He's a guy that can bring together some, you know, when they've lost these games like this, they can kind of bring it back. They don't have that anymore. I think they lack some continuity. And again, they have lost three games on the last play of the game. So it's not like they're getting run out of some of these games, but, you know, it's one or two plays here, a bad Tua interception last week. It just seems to all add up, and they're in a really bad spot right now.
And you mentioned Tua and the mess off the field, which, you know, has completely blown up this week with all the reports that are out there now about Deshaun Watson. And you mentioned his press conference. This was maybe the most telling quote, Andrew. He's asked if he feels wanted by the Dolphins, and he goes double negative on the media and says, "I don't not feel wanted." Yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, he doesn't feel wanted. I mean, you just read it, you know, you hear what he says, and every question's about it. And it's a guy that started 13 games. He's 7-6. They used the number 5 overall pick on him. It seems surprising to me that they would be ready. If you scouted him as much as they did, and they knew, you know, they took him over Herbert, right? I mean, they loved Tua. To give him 13 starts. Now, you know, Brian Flores did come out today and say he's our guy, we trust him, but I don't know how believable all that is. Again, it's a really messy situation down there. They've had a number of big misses in free agency. Will Fuller, a guy they brought in, barely played. He's on IR. The pieces they brought in to try to help him have not helped Tua.
And it's not just about Tua either as a draft pick at number 5 overall. It's also some of the other picks that they've whiffed on. Most notably, they drafted the young left tackle who
Austin
now is now playing left guard and not very well. They got rid of Laremy Tunsil a couple of years ago in the trade, and they brought some draft picks in, and those have not come to fruition yet. They've just struggled to surround him with the kind of protection that, or the weapons that he needs, although their weapons seem good enough. It's not just about what's happening on the field. It's what happens before they can get on the field with their drafts, with their philosophy. They do seem to be a little bit reactionary in their planning.
I agree, Steve. And they've had some turnover at coaching, and they've co-offensive coordinators right now. You know, I think that's a weird situation. Again, I haven't called one of their games yet. I haven't met with them, but you don't see that too often where you have co-offensive coordinators. They've made a lot of changes. I mean, even Ryan Fitzpatrick, I mean, what he did for that team last year on the field and off the field, I think that he made an enormous impact on why they were 10-6 and why they had a chance in the last game of the season against Buffalo to make the playoffs. I think Fitz, it goes back to that veteran leadership that I spoke of before. So I agree with you, Steve. They've had some big misses in the offseason, and now it's hurting them in season.
On the bright side for them, I'm trying to find some positives here, Andrew. On the bright side for them, Jalen Waddle has put together a pretty nice season here, working out of the slot for them. He's been a reliable target for Tua. And so, too, has Mike Gesicki, who is motivated, being in a contract year. He's looking to get the big second contract. And those are really the two guys I think the Bills have to concern themselves with first and foremost in this Dolphins passing game. I know Devontae Parker's been in and out of the lineup, but those two guys seem like the players that are keeping the team on the field and on schedule in terms of down and distance anyway.
Yeah, in addition, Chris, I'd say I was always impressed with the play of Preston Williams. He's a bigger target, but he has not gotten going this year. But in the past, he has been a difference maker, especially in the red zone. I think the key is Gesicki. He's got a little Jeremy Shockey in him. I think that he is definitely a guy that not only can make a big play, but he can fire up his team. So I think that's certainly a big priority for the Bills defense going into this one, making sure he does not have a huge game. Waddle, yes, is putting up good numbers. He's making some plays, but again, it's a lot of short passes. It's, you know, if you can cover him at the line of scrimmage, it's hard to see him making breaking through that Bills defense. But Gesicki's the guy. Remember, they're also down a running back this week. They really only have, well, they only have two running backs on their roster right now. They'll bring somebody up off the practice squad before the game on Sunday, but they are hurting. And Steve pointed out the offensive line, Austin Jackson at left guard now, still not playing great. So Gesicki is the guy to focus in on.
Yeah. If the Dolphins are, you know, cause we sit here, me and Brownie sit here and we talk about Bills all week, every week. What do you think the Dolphins see in the Bills team? Where do you think they can make hay against the Bills offense or defense on either side of the ball? Where do you think the Bills weaknesses lie in the eyes of their opponents?
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, obviously without Knox this week, I think that, you know, that's one less target for Josh Allen. But, you know, I watched the week two matchup. It wasn't a blowout at halftime, but the Bills pulled away in the second half. Obviously watched almost all the Bills games this year, and they played great, I thought, in Tennessee. I love the decision to go for it. I know you guys have probably talked about that ad nauseum. To me, there's not much slowing down this Buffalo offense. I mean, I think that, again, Knox being out is one thing that'll be different, but Josh has so many other weapons that he can go to that I think, especially if Jerome Baker doesn't play, Miami's going to have its hands full defensively.
Yeah, and then finally, for me anyway, what do we think about how the Bills passing game might look? Steve and I have been knocking it around a little bit. I kind of think that Gabriel Davis will be on the field a good deal more going forward. He hasn't seen a lot of the field because of the emergence of Knox and them staying in that 11 personnel. I think there's a good chance we see more four wide this week with Gabriel Davis on the field a good deal more.
Yeah, it makes sense. Every time I hear his name, I think of last year's training camp. There was no preseason, but I asked Steve about Gabriel Davis, and he just kind of looked at me and he goes, "This guy catches everything." And every time I hear his name, I think of Steve telling me that story. And I know he's not their primary focus right now with Diggs and Beasley and Sanders. But if he's given a more prominent role this week, I expect him to catch everything. I mean, I think that he is a hidden gem on this Buffalo roster.
And it will be interesting to see how the Bills account for the absence of Dawson Knox. When you see Knox and Sweeney standing next to him, I was just telling Chris this, they're almost the same guy. They're built alike. They look alike. Tommy Sweeney's a big, tall guy, a physical guy, and I would think even if his skill set isn't exactly what Dawson Knox is, whatever that skill set is, I imagine it's we're talking about percentages of personnel combinations where Sweeney's on the field and when he's off the field and how that will change week to week given, you know, the way they use Knox. But Sweeney catches the touchdown last week against Tennessee. So obviously they've got confidence in him. He's struggled to get on the field at times during his three-year career because he's been injured. Last year he had COVID. He was a long hauler in COVID. It took him a long time to get over that. But having him come back now, you could see that if the Bills don't want to change something, they just give him a chance to do what Knox did and see if he can do it.
Yeah, Steve, he made some plays in his rookie year in the preseason. We saw him a lot that summer. And when was the last time a guy wearing the 89 jersey let down the Buffalo Bills? I mean, you got to go back a long way.
25 years, I think, about it. I'm pretty sure it happened then.
I would expect big things from number 89 on Sunday, like you always provided.
All right. Well, listen, we'll Andrew, we appreciate the time. As always, we're looking forward to seeing you up here and calling the game. So best of luck with the telecast with you and James. And we'll see you on Sunday.
Can't wait, guys. Thanks for having me on. I'll see you on Sunday.
That's the NFL on CBS's Andrew Catalan, set to call the game on Sunday. Bills Dolphins in week 8 on Halloween. Oh, we should have asked him if he was going to get dressed up. They give him a mask or something.
Think about traveling on Halloween. That's like bad.
What do you think? It's bad juju? Or?
I think it is kind of, don't you? Eh. Bad juju traveling. Everybody's out. Maybe that's the best time to travel when everybody's, you know, doing something else.
You think so?
At holidays, usually people do not travel on. But Halloween is not one of those holidays where you travel home. You know what I mean? It's not like Christmas, Easter, Thanksgiving, you know, all that, where you'd go home.
You weren't talking about it in terms of being busy. You were talking about it, what, in terms of being spooky or something? Or
I don't know. Yeah, just kind of.
You don't like it?
Yeah, seems. Traveling on a holiday.
Are you superstitious or just a little stitious?
I'm a little stitious.
Yeah. Okay.
Not super. Yeah.
All right. That's fair.
That's where I sit.
That's fair.
And Andrew Catalan, love the guy. For those of you who didn't see it, he's wearing a Augusta National golf shirt. That he does a lot of things for CBS and has started to expand his portfolio for what they asked him to do.
Swag there.
He's very good in the booth, very smooth. And I keep saying it, I did his first game ever. He is now doing a lot of golf for them as well, which that's a two-edged sword because, man, you want to talk about travel. A golf match is not 3 hours on a Sunday afternoon. It's like 9 hours Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
That is a marathon broadcast.
You
got
to check out of life for that gig.
Yeah. Because it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I mean, usually it's just Saturday and Sunday for the main guys.
It's a 40-hour work week sitting in one chair talking and trying to be smooth.
And a lot of what you're calling is off a monitor because you can't be everywhere on the course anyway.
It takes incredible concentration, incredible concentration.
All right, we're going to take a break here because when we come back, we will have one Josh Allen for you. He's addressing the media now that practice is over. So we will bring him to you next here on One Bills Live, presented by Kalida Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. All right, back here on One Bills Live, Chris Brown, Steve Tasker with you. And we're going to take you out to the practice field as practice is wrapped up for the day today. And addressing the media now is one Josh Allen. So let's hear from Josh now.
He's probably one of the most interesting guys, not just on the team, but on the planet. He's awesome to be around. He's one of those guys that just consistently worked. He's kept his head down. He's never complained. You know, doesn't have a whole lot of opportunities in the passing game, but when his number's called, he usually ends up making the play. He's a guy that, again, guys love being around him. He's all about the team, and he wants to do whatever he can do to help this team win. I can't tell you his secrets. I can't. He's an extremely old soul, and he's just again his music choice is awesome. He's one of the best dudes on the team.
Given the way Dawson has played, is it going to be a tough ask to plug and play Tommy? Again, given what Dawson's been able to do and how he's come along.
Yeah, and I would definitely say. trying to fill what Dawson brings to this table is going to be tough, but we got guys that are accountable, guys that want to step in and work and do their job. Everybody's going to have to step up, try to, make his absence less felt on the offensive side of the ball. But, again, we got guys that are capable of doing that, i.e. Tommy, Gabe, Kumro, and no matter what type of personnel we got out there, guys are going to go out there and execute.
You said after the Tennessee game that execution was a problem in the red zone, but you wanted to evaluate, go look at the tape. What did that reveal?
Yeah, I mean, I think it came down to minor details, maybe that we weren't too keen on. And so we gotta fix some things, get back to kind of our roots. I think we were a pretty good team in the red zone last year. So finding ways to do what we were doing last year. And I know it's a new season and nothing really carries over, but just putting guys in the right position to succeed down there, making good decisions with the football, and then just as a whole unit executing better.
Josh, do you find the defense that game linger? Does it still linger because it's the last one?
No. We're completely focused on the Dolphins and the task at hand right now. We had to forget about that one. And we learned from it. We watched a lot of film on it. And we're trying to go out there and fix some of our mistakes and just trying to be the best ourselves, the best team that we can be, come game time on Sunday.
Josh, I was going to ask you back to the red zone. Do you find the teams are maybe defending you a little bit differently down there, defenses in general?
Maybe slightly, but again, we got to go execute whatever the plays is called. We got to go out there and try to find a way to put the ball in the end zone, and it starts with me. So just being smarter with the football, maybe getting us into or out of a bad or better situation, and just trying to, like I said, put our guys in the best possible situation to succeed down there.
Just having the rest of the bye week, it gave you a little time, obviously, to kind of reflect. Is there anything in regards to this team that you kind of thought about during the last week?
No, I mean, I think this is a team that this is a position that feels eerily similar to the bye week last year. Losing the way we did, everybody wanted to count us out again and all that, but we don't really care about that. We're a resilient group. We're going to find ways to, like I said, to score in the red zone and to be better as a team and play complementary football. And we got a great team. There are a few plays away from, being 4-3. And it's a team that, again, they're working hard. They're in our division. They've already seen us once. It's hard to beat a team twice. So we got to be ready for whatever they can throw at us. Try to go execute a game plan.
From the outside looking in, it seems like you would have a track record now, both as a quarterback and as a team in general, of dealing with losses, adverse situations. I mean, that's part of life in the NFL, right? But, I mean, you've been able to build off whatever that adversity has been and have success. Do you kind of feel comfortable in that pattern, so to speak, when you deal with a situation like a Tennessee game?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely feel comfortable, just given the situation of, what Coach McDermott preaches to us, how guys handle things, how professional guys on this team are, handling their business, handling their bye week, coming back, being ready to go. And, we had a really good Wednesday practice, so we had to continue that the next few days and be ready for a tough game on Sunday.
Was it a different bye week because this time, like last year, you weren't able to go anywhere? Did you get a chance to get away and refresh that way?
Yeah, got to get the mind off the football, for a few days, but it's a job that never stops. So, yeah.
Josh, you mentioned this going into this bye week felt a lot similar to last year. What was it about after the bye week last year, the reset that allowed you guys to go on that massive run that you guys did, and how can you use that then moving forward this year?
Well, just the knowledge of being in the type of situation, understanding that, again, the NFL, it's a week-to-week league. And every game on Sunday or Monday or Thursday, it's a different type of situation, different type of matchup, and you got to be ready in all types of situations. So, we're not going to let, again, one or two losses affect how we play, how we practice, how we interact with each other in the locker room. We're going to continue to try to play our brand of football and sustain our type of caliber and our standard, which is playoff caliber. Obviously, that's what Coach McDermott always preaches. And we took that to heart last year, and we're going to take it to heart this year.
How would you rate Brian Daboll in terms of his creativity?
One. Out of one, though. Yeah.
What makes his creativity so unique?
I think he just continues to find ways to explore different types of plays. You know, he's constantly watching film from college, other NFL games, and even sometimes high school games. He's got a knack for it of just finding good play calls and switching things up where teams maybe lose focus on one guy and then bring him in, and, or focus too much on the other guy. So, you know, he continues just to watch a lot of film, and he's very open-minded for different plays from everybody on the team. Doesn't matter what position you play, he's willing to take a look at it.
On top of the comparison to coming out of the bye last year, this team's been successful out of the bye for a while. What do you think is the key to that?
I think just the guys that have been brought into this building, you know, again, I preach it over and over, guys that are just true professionals. We care about our job, and most importantly, we care about each other, and we don't want to let each other down. So it's just the type of guys that we have in this locker room that are just willing to, again, like I said, handle their bye week professionally, come back here and be ready to work and try to go execute a game plan on Sunday.
The Fireball hoodies went pretty viral. I saw a bunch of them down in Nashville. Is there anybody back in California at school that you heard from since that happened and shared some thoughts with you about it?
Yeah, well, my aunt, she's still a teacher there. She reached out and said, I can't believe that. It was so awesome. And I know the kids there enjoyed it. I got to talk to the football team not too long ago, I think during the bye week too. So. But again, even if I didn't receive any calls, I know that they'd be thankful, and you know, I want to do anything I can to help, you know, my hometown.
You watch the Manning cast at all?
I didn't watch it this last week. I have. It's awesome. Yeah, I'm a big fan.
On it this week. It was. Would you? They offered you to be a guest. Is that something you'd be? Brady was on it. They've had current players on.
Yeah, I think some. Most of the current players though are kind of long-time vets that have been in this league for a while. One, I don't know if I have the insight that they're looking for.
I don't know that they're always looking for insight.
Yeah. But let's just say I wouldn't give them any sound bites or clips that maybe they I don't know. So, but, you know, I have a good relationship with Peyton and Eli going back to the Manning Passing Academy. And, you know, Archie texts me once in a while, which is really cool. It's super surreal that, you know, he texts me and wishes me good luck and stuff. And, you know, they're the ultimate football family. So, yeah, if they ask me, I'd definitely go on.
Josh, what was Monday like going to the hospital?
That was pretty special, you know, to have my family on Zoom and to unveil, you know, the wing dedicated to my grandmother. It was, you know, I still can't really find the words for it. It was great.
Josh, given the success you've personally had as a quarterback against the Dolphins, or maybe it's just the offense, but I guess, is there something about the Dolphins that seems to match up well in your mind?
I don't think it really points down to one thing, or, you know, sometimes you just find ways to move the ball against the team, and I really think that's it. I don't think there's a secret formula or a special drink that we're drinking before the game. You know, it's just we're going out there and executing. We understand that it's a division game, and Coach McDermott preaches, you know, you got to win your division games, and we just, I don't know if we approach it a little differently or not, but again, this week's different though. You know, every week's different, and it doesn't matter how many times we've played them before, how many times we've won. You know, going to this game, we're the mindset of 0-0, and you know, playing against a good team, like I said, they're only a few plays away from being 4-3 and being you know, in contention for the division as well. So we got to continue to work and put together a good game plan.
Josh, you're talking about getting away from football for a couple of days during the bye. How hard is that to do? And do you have to almost, you know, force yourself to do it for the sake of taking advantage of the one bye you get?
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody kind of approaches it differently. You know, I can play every week out of the year, and I think I'd be fine. I love this game, so. It's not too hard for me to just kind of.
Hey, Jack, tell him how you ain't let me win the best costume at the Halloween.
He got third. You got third?
You got first?
No, he got third. Mike and Amanda Hyde were first. But yeah, that was a good time. But yeah, we're.
Halloween.
I believe taken over.
I believe Josh was Jack Sparrow.
Yes,
and
was
a very good Jack Sparrow. I saw a photo of him on Instagram with Levi Wallace, who was Urkel from the Family Matters sitcom. And
very good.
I got to tell you, Levi nailed it.
He did.
He nailed it. He had the short pants, He had the geeky glasses on. He had that thing down.
Yeah.
So my vote's for Levi. I don't know how he didn't win. I did not know what Micah and Amanda Hyde's costume was, but apparently they were the winners. So they all got together and did a Halloween party during the bye week, which, you know, good on them for doing stuff off the field. Some of his more interesting comments today, you know, I thought talking about refocusing, and even though you're going against a team that people on the outside feel is an inferior opponent, that's not the way you can approach it, you know, going forward. Also found it interesting that he mentioned Jake Kumerow, Gabriel Davis, and Tommy Sweeney in that order when asked about picking up the slack for Knox in the passing game.
Let me just
do we
share,
read, but do we read the
right.
tea leaves there,
Steve?
Let me
just share between the lines. Brownie thought he has cracked the
code
of the universe because
I'm telling you, Gabe's going to be on the field this week. I can feel it.
Said three random names that Brownie goes. That's it.
That's it.
That's what
we
they're going to
solve the case.
We've solved it. That's going to be Gabe Davis on the field with Kumerow and Tommy Sweeney.
Yeah.
And those three guys, Gabe Davis is going
to
play a tight end.
My story, and I'm sticking to, well, not tight end, but he's going to be on the field. Let's go to the tweet sheet to see what you think is going to be the biggest storyline for you with Sunday's game against
the
Dolphins.
Crack the code.
Tweet sheet brought to you by Corrigan Moving Systems, the official equipment moving provider of the Buffalo Bills. Jack says, biggest story is how do the Bills come off that hard loss to Tennessee? Do they adjust their defense to correct mistakes, and are they able to be more efficient and effective in the red zone on offense? That loss to Arizona last year before the bye united them. Can the staff do it again?
Yeah, I don't want to undersell what he's saying about the loss to Tennessee, but that was a really good football game. You played a really good game. You were in it. You had a chance to win
right
it at the end. You got, and so, and I'm not – that one play at the end, I mean, that's the kind of game you're going to get with Tennessee. They're too good to run off and leave.
And they play a lot of close games.
Yeah.
They're used to playing
tight,
nip-and-tuck games.
And you're in it. At the very end, it could have easily gone into overtime if you decided to do that. You decided to go for the win, coin flip, or even better than a coin flip in your favor. Josh loses his footing, you go down. So whatever adjustments and effectiveness you want to change about that game and how it went, it's minimal. It's minimal. You played really good on the road in a tough stadium to play in against a really good football team. And that's the reason it's a tough stadium to play in is because of the football team.
Yeah.
And you played good. You just didn't play well enough to win. You had plenty of chances to do it. So the adjustments you're looking at yourself making from the game against Tennessee aren't necessarily going to help you in Miami, but they will help you the next time you play Tennessee.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking at. Certainly there's some things that are basic and fundamental that you can do a little better on against Tennessee and against every other team, including Miami coming up. But the adjustments that would have made a difference in that game have to do with Tennessee, not how that adjustment's going to help you against Miami.
E-Horse on the tweet sheet says, I'll be watching in the coming weeks how many penalties are committed by our Bills. We lost to the Titans because two touchdowns were called back by penalties. Go Bills. And then JT says, I think we are going to be resting players by the fourth quarter for the next few games. Josh is the Finns' daddy. He loves putting a whooping on them. The salmon arms are coming off this week. The Finns are beat up. Even Jacoby is on the injury list. I smell a 50 burger this week.
That's all right. I learned my lesson in the Tennessee game.
Yeah, you got a little ahead of yourself.
40 burger there, which they should have, by the way, without those two penalties.
Well, yeah, they would have got there.
The Bills are good. We know they're good. They're going to play good. Are they going to play good enough to win? That's really the only question. Are they going to stay out of their own way and execute the game plan they can? They should play extremely well. They've got horses. You know, they need to put the spurs to them.
Yeah. We talked earlier in the show about how messy this quarterback situation has gotten for the Miami Dolphins off the field with all the Deshaun Watson reports. There is one that might go a step further. We will tell you which team holds that distinction when we come back here on One Bills Live, presented by Collider Health. It's Buffalo Bills Radio. I want to remind you that the Bills by the Numbers podcast, presented by FanDuel, is available on all of your popular podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Live, and you can even watch us on YouTube. Steve and I will be dropping our next episode tomorrow afternoon. Episode number 3 of Bills by the Numbers. We're going to tell you how important the middle 8 minutes of a football game are We'll see how Josh Allen ranks with the new metric that measures how much a quarterback helps his team win. And we'll talk to the guy that devised that very metric. And Steve, as always, will be quizzed in the numbers game this week. I'm not telling him what it'll be on, but we will be racking his brain for sure. Steve, I told you before the break that with as messy as this Tua situation is in Miami, with the off-the-field trade rumors involving Deshaun Watson, there is one that may be trumping it, and it is your good friends at the Chicago Bears who are doing it. This is being reported by Yahoo Sports, Steve. Uh-oh. Midway through the first quarter of last week's game, Bears-Bucks, Justin Fields is on the field running the offense. He hears a coach in his helmet communication device telling him the Bucks have 12 men on the field. Snap the ball. Fields, trusting the coach, was giving him accurate information, lines the team up, quick snaps the ball, heaves a pass deep down the field because it's a free play.
Right.
12 men on the field. Heaves it downfield. The Bucks intercept the ball. Small problem.
They got 11
There's
guys.
11 guys on the field. Matt Nagy is asked about this very situation. This is his direct quote. If they do have 12 guys on and you catch them, obviously it's a free play. If they don't and you hear that, that's where you have to understand that and learn from that. And that's our job, that we are teaching that the right way. Not just him, but everybody. Are you kidding me? You're going to put it on the kid? When it's your staff that's telling him there's 12 guys on the field? What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah. You got to get buttoned up. I don't.
Isn't that,
and
that's bad.
This, I don't know.
You got to go after your coaching staff on that, not after the rookie quarterback.
Yeah, I heard.
Come
I
on.
Just, I heard that story, and I heard that it wasn't just one time. I heard it happened a couple of times during the game where they thought they had him, and they didn't. Yeah, that's pretty egregious.
You can't deflect blame like that.
There's not that many guys who have a voice in the quarterback's ear. In fact, I'm pretty sure it's only one. So
that's
it's a short list.
Don't hang your quarterback out to dry. That kid's trying his darndest out there to make plays for you, and you don't even call your coaching staff into question on that?
Yeah, you just
– come on.
Matt Nagy's got to own that.
Yeah.
He's got to own it. He's got to say, listen, we screwed that up. We gave the kid a chance. Thought he had a free play, and we didn't. Yeah. That was
same old Bears. Unfortunately, same old Bears.
That is not leadership.
Big show tomorrow. Field Yates from ESPN coming in as he does every Thursday, and we'll have Bills running back Zach Moss right here. We'll see you tomorrow at 1.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.